Hello, welcome to the Monday, July 27th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Augusta, Georgia. We certainly had a lot of patching to do the last couple weeks, and a lot of these patches came without any real prior announcement. So Mark wrote up a little piece about how to organize your patching. In my personal opinion, really the important part about patching is not just speed. You have to be expeditiously, you have to apply these patches sooner rather than later, but what you shouldn't forget over all the rush is to organize a repeatable patching process. One of the problems really that I see with patching is that patches are applied incorrectly. The result is sometimes, well, that the system will just fail, which then of course gives patching a bad reputation in taking down systems. But even worse, you think you have the patch installed if you actually don't, because you never really validated whether or not you installed the patch. Great little post here from Mark. So if you are developing your own patch process and you're in charge of it, take a quick look and see what you can do here. He assumes that you may be able to patch within 2 days at least four critical vulnerabilities. And then just a little bit more aftermath to the hack of Chrysler's Uconnect cell network that was demonstrated last week. The National Highway and Traffic Safety Administration now ordered a recall of 1.4 million cars manufactured by Fiat Chrysler that are affected by this flaw. You're likely vulnerable if your vehicle is equipped with Uconnect, which is the cellular network that allows remote access to the vehicle. Evidently, there are a couple of things that Chrysler did to fix this problem. First of all, apparently they worked with the cellular network operator to limit access to the vehicles. I imagine this is something like a firewall rule limiting certain IP addresses from connecting to the vehicle's network, so only Chrysler's own network can actually connect. Not 100% sure how well this is implemented, but the real fix is a firmware update, and this should arrive in the mail to you as a USB stick that you need then to connect to your car. If you're more anxious than to wait for that USB stick, you can also download the software. I would highly recommend you wait a few days or however it will take to receive the USB stick in the mail. There is a lot that can go wrong if you download it. And then, of course, you also have the option to go to the dealer to have the update applied. That's probably the best option here, so you don't plug just an arbitrary USB stick in, hoping that the dealer did treat the USB stick with the necessary care. There's of course also yet another problem. What if they plug the same USB stick into many different cars? One of these cars could now override the USB stick and essentially infect all the other cars being brought to the same dealership. And just sticking with patching here for one more story, Google released a new version of Google Chrome. It's Chrome 44 now. Fixes 43 security flaws. Some of them are universal cross-site scripting flaws, which of course could be exploited to essentially inject content into arbitrary sites. There are also some heap buffer overflows and the like, so certainly if you run Chrome, please update, but typically these auto updates in Chrome I find work rather quickly. And then we got another car hacking story. Now, this story has gotten less news because it was demonstrated responsibly in a lab instead of on a highway. In this case, a digital radio station was used to send malicious images to a car's entertainment system. Digital radio is, of course, the standard now for a few years. In addition to just sound, it may also be used to transmit images like station logos and the like. The parsers that are interpreting these images in cars and entertainment systems, well, these are the same parsers that you probably patched at some point in your PC, so they are often exploitable. And with that, an attacker can execute arbitrary code on the vehicle's computer system, and essentially just like in the Jeep example take over more or less the entire system. This flaw was demonstrated by the NCC group. Essentially, they set up a little low-power digital radio station. An attacker could just do that using the frequency of an existing popular station to broadcast their signal. And in a demonstration, NCC group was successful in overriding the automatic braking system of a car. One interesting tidbit in the article that I found somewhat discouraging when it comes to car security is that a modern car typically contains 50 interlinked computers and runs about 50 million lines of code, which is quite a bit more than a modern airliner, according to this article, which only runs on 14 million lines of code. Well, does it for today. By the way, I'm in Augusta this week, and on Tuesday evening I'll be speaking at the local ISSA meeting. If you're in town, just look it up on Twitter or search for Augusta ISSA for details. Thanks, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.